Hey, good morning. It's Christmas, and this is Scott Stimson here with his family to open up Christmas presents. BB's here too.
Woo!
And this is Yuya Marquez.
Hi, Feliz Navidad. This is the mom, the wife.
The other child, Emily Stimson.
The favorite child.
She thinks she's the favorite child. And we're just sitting down to open Christmas presents. Yay!
Yeah.
But we wanted to take a moment and wish you a Merry Christmas and introduce this San Carlos Computer Club. And I hope you're having a good holiday and you're with the people you love. Bueno, okay, entonces, we're going to go on with our Christmas. This is just Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Bibiana Stimson, your daughter.
And the Stimson Marquez family wishing you Merry Christmas. And we'll talk to you next week. Tech on.
Tech on.
Alexa, play Christmas music, because I feel Christmassy.
There's a station you might like, Holiday Favorites, on Amazon Music.
Ah, I got everybody's Alexa going off. It's a different selection of music. Here's Cheryl. Welcome. Merry Christmas, Club.
You're muted, Cheryl.
I just said I had to get back far enough so you can see the top of my antlers.
Love your antlers.
There she is. I couldn't decide if I was Mrs. Claus or if I was Rudolph.
Well, I just asked my Echo to play some Christmas music, and I think I hit somebody else's Echo out there as well.
Oh.
Yeah, you got mine.
I thought it was yours, Fred. That was really funny. They were both answering almost in unison. Well, we're almost ready to begin.
I'm just getting my background set up.
I hope you guys brought some topics. I've got some stuff, but I'm not deep into anything.
I got a couple of new recommendations.
Oh, and I want, since Maggie's with us, we want an update on her iPhone and her navigation issue.
This is a really easy update.
Yeah.
It is impossible, according to Apple and everyone else, it's impossible to delete Safari from your phone. However, I seem to have done just that.
Uh-oh. So
I'm gonna have to call Apple today to find out how to get it back. Not that I can't live without it, but if it makes a difference on my web searches, I'll use it. But everyone has Apple support. You can't delete Safari. Look in all your folders. It's there. No, it's not. ask Siri. She sends me to the App Store. There is no app because you can't delete it.
Well, that might explain why we were having trouble finding it in your phone last time. Well,
hiya, Ben.
Finding
hey, Chester's
phone
here.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Merry Christmas,
morning,
Club.
Chester.
Merry Christmas, Chester.
I have a Merry Christmas to all.
Well, we're still early to start, but I did hit the recording button so I could capture some of our commentary for the podcast. But I haven't hit the streaming button yet, so we're not actually live in the internet yet, except for with ourselves.
Have you read anything on Starlink?
I actually have watched a couple of videos on setup in rural areas, and I provided a couple of links on last week's meeting, if you go back, that I thought were really good intros to what we care about, the hands-on stuff, what comes in the box, how to set it up, and it's really straightforward. It is the system that we're hoping for. There's a little tripod with a little dish. You pull it out of it's like a briefcase-sized device. I say little. It's probably like a foot and a half in size. But you pull it out, stick it on a tripod, and plug it in. And it dials in where the satellite is. And it tracks the satellite. And the videos that I've provided links to, I thought were really good. One of them is a teardown, so you can see what's inside it. But the other one is just like a straightforward, normal person's approach to how to use the Starlink system. I don't know if that... Did you want to add something to that, Fred?
No, I just found out about it today. Or I may have known about it, but it didn't register until my friend said something about it.
Well, they are saying that they're going to be able to get hundreds of megabits in speed. But right now, the beta testers are getting like 30, 40 regularly. And on this one video, what's I think he was getting 20 up. Which right now I would love for 20 up, because I seem to be with X-Pro, I'm down to 10 for some reason. Going, like, me putting this out as a stream. You know what? I'm just going to hit the stream button so I can stop thinking about whether I've done it or not.
Okay. Scott, you're starting into topics and we haven't even said hello to everybody
I
yet.
Know. All right, let's take a little break from getting serious. And we will just organize this thing a little bit. I am Scott Stimson. Merry Christmas, Club. I'm so happy to be here with you. I love the hats. And the jingle bells. I don't know if you can see behind me, but I hung up some lights. I've got a Santa on the shelf. I wore my Grinch t-shirt. And my Christmas Deadpool pants. And I don't know if you can hear it, but the echo is in the background playing Christmas music. Oh, and I forgot this part. I'm Norwegian, and so I'm munching on Christmas kringla, which I made with my daughter just the other day.
Oh, how cool.
I'm drinking an eggnog latte. I'm wondering if Vivi has received her text message so that she can come in and join us.
She is actually gone off to the office with her mom.
Oh, but I thought she was going to sing. Bill will tell you the story. Bill got the box, and I've got the chocolate piece off of the Terry's chocolate orange.
Oh. Very cool.
This is a definite recommendation.
Hello, Santa. I want an Xbox Series X with a year Game Pass, please.
You got it.
All right.
You're supposed to ask him if he's been naughty or nice.
He doesn't want the details.
I don't want the details.
Well, BB...
I'll deliver it right out of the back of my Porsche.
BB might join us virtually through Skype later. She said she might try and call, depending on what's going on over at her aunt's house. What that means in 13-year-old language is, if I'm bored, I might Skype in.
That's exactly what it means.
I've got a picture as my background of the fireplace that is in the room where Bill is. But behind him, you can see our little Christmas tree. He's got his camera. Different, but anyways, so I took the picture in the other room and then I put it in my background in this room. So,
oh, great,
working with backgrounds.
You're social engineering us into believing you're in a different location. I mean, it's the same house.
I'm gonna go back to the beach before long. Now, I was wondering where Maggie is. Maggie looks like she's on the road.
She is, she's in her car, and I have got all of you guys frozen on my screen right now.
Mine's working great.
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to have to hire a chauffeur more often.
So you're on your way into Wymas right now.
See, I'm on my way to Benny's shop. We're going to go buy a battery for Rick's iPhone.
No, we're not.
No, we're not?
It's like they're making us all go back.
We have a stop up here. The police have a roadblock. They've had them off and on for the last 2 months, and it looks like they're making everybody go back. Why?
Really?
Huh. Wonder what's going on. I should have brought my badge. Well, as soon as we get up to the police, I'll tell you what's going on.
Okay, we'll have commentary. We'll come right back with our roving reporter on her way to Wymas. It's Maggie's Highway Report.
Got
well,
a nice ring
well
to,
we're but. In. We've got snow happening in our province. We've had it up north here for quite a while, but down south they've got 2 feet overnight, and it's still falling.
2 feet. Sounds like you're in the north, all right.
Yeah, white Christmas all around our whole province.
I had to put on two shirts because I was a little chilly this morning. I'm sorry, Cheryl. I didn't mean to talk over you. Say again.
The roads are not going to be good, but that's okay. Everybody's supposed to stay home anyway. Not that they're following those rules.
Well, I was going to say, you're cold. I put on two shirts because I was chilly this morning. It's got to be 50-something here.
Brr! What's the temperature? It's 65 degrees. Brr!
65. Oh, my gosh. Don't even leave the house.
We just got waved through. We didn't even have to stop, so.
Oh, all right.
I guess it pays to look innocent.
You must look like you know what you're doing. They're turning around people that don't know what they're doing.
My phone says that it's 54 degrees in San Carlos. Partly sunny.
Well, the sunny part's easy to believe.
Real feel is 61.
My phone says that it's sunny and 18 degrees in San Carlos.
That must be in Celsius.
Yes, it is. And in Sherwood Park, Alberta, minus 7 degrees, mostly cloudy. Too cloudy to see the Christmas star last night.
We did see the two planets coming together last night, but we didn't get the full effect. By the time we were looking for the full effect, it had disappeared from the horizon.
There's some great pictures out of South Africa online today. Amazing stuff.
I wonder if Radha got anything.
Somebody posted something from San Carlos, and it was a video, and it was basically they were coming together, but it looked like it happened just below the horizon, like Scott said.
Where did you see that? On the Viva board?
On the forum. What's up, San Carlos forum?
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Fred, did you turn off your video or did my video turn you off?
Fred looks fine.
You can see him? Yeah, I can't. All I've got's a...
Another Scott.
Another Scott?
Another Scott. This one's in front of the Maquiladoras.
Oh.
I don't know what he's telling people. We'll find out in a minute.
It seems like the pictures come and go.
Yeah, I've got Maggie and Fred and Paul are all icons, you know, just their little icons. Their video stopped, but it could be because I'm using my background.
Oh, that's right. We did find that had something to play with performance.
I'll turn it off and see what happens. All the videos show up. If I turn off my background, I've got everybody's video. I can see everybody.
Cool.
Turn off your background. How do you do that?
Chester, are you on a laptop?
No, I'm on a 27-inch Apple.
An iMac, 27-inch iMac.
Okay. I think it'll be the same. Like, are you in a browser in Google Chrome? Or
yeah, turn that off.
Down at the bottom, if you move your mouse down towards the bottom, a thing opens up and you've got the hang up and the microphone and everything. Way over to the right is three little dots. Click on those three little dots, a screen opens up, and it's got whiteboard, change layout, full screen, and the fourth one, if your computer has a camera that can do it, says change background.
I see change layout. Yeah, change background.
Yeah, click on that, and there's a few that have already been given to you, and then you can add your own, which is what I did with that first square.
And while you're doing that, everybody look this direction and smile.
Oh, which direction? Wait, I should get my antlers in.
Okay, hold on. I'm not ready now. I was ready. Okay, everybody ready? Smile. Hold it. Hold it. Got it.
And, Chester, while you're in there, the change layout is kind of nice because you can increase it. I use Tiled, and I've got mine set to 16. And, by the way, Scott, it keeps it at 16. It doesn't default back down again.
I was going to say, this is the first meeting that I went in to switch it, and it was still there from last meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first time. I've been switching it to the highest number of people so that I can do this view of all of us. And every time I've come into the meeting since we discovered it, I've had to bring it up by doing the same thing, going here to the... going to change layout and going down. And this is the first time I came into it, and it's already set at 49.
The other thing that I do is up in the right-hand corner by where it says the time and the chat room and how many people are on, my picture is there. And if I click on it, I can remove tiles so that I'm not in the tile, or I can hit it again, and then I show up on my own screen. So if you only see yourself as a tiny little box up at the top and you don't see yourself as part of the group, you can click on that and...
Yes. Click up in here. There's this thing that says show as a tile. I don't know if you can see on my screen. And if you click on that, you join the group. And so you're there in the tiles. You'd think there'd be a snap picture button right here in the program. Just because you'd think somebody would be thinking, hey, it'd be great if we could just snap a picture of that. But
you could use the screen capture.
That's what I was just using. I think that worked all right, except there was a lot of hold time there. It wasn't very quick.
Okay, Scott, I got a little story to tell you while you're still trying to do that. Yesterday, I got going, and I was rushing breakfast. Cheryl was kind of curious why I was in such a rush, and I got up from breakfast and said, well, it's almost time for the announcement. I said, it's almost time for San Carlos Computer Club. Woohoo! That Alexa does that. And she says, Phil, it's Monday. Oh, shit. Here I was at the computer club yesterday.
Bill, you warm my heart. That's beautiful. Thank you for caring so much. I really enjoy being with you guys, too.
Well, I don't necessarily enjoy
the... Yeah, no, you're good
there.
I
like looking at myself in the, on the screen.
Sure.
You believe that, I got a bridge I'll sell you.
Here's the picture I got. Chester, cool. You need a hat. Jim, you too.
So does Jimmy.
Yeah, we do.
Well, in typical club fashion, we're pretty unorganized and we're just kind of dancing all over the place. I do have some topics. I guess we're still waiting for a Maggie update for her navigation issue. Without Safari, it's hard to bring it up.
Here's what's happening. In the third blockade by where you turn to go to the airport, it's a bunch of civilians. I don't know if it's the Yaquis or what, but it's a protest, and they won't let anybody through. They don't care if you have a doctor appointment. So we had to turn around, and a policeman told us we could get in through Miramar. So that's what we're doing.
Oh, you're taking the Dolphinarium Road. You heard it live now here on the San Carlos Computer Club. Protests have blocked the main road to Wimas.
She should be doing the Robin Williams thing from Good Morning Vietnam. We got to take the Miramar Road. Bill Thompson reporting.
Maybe someone with a computer can check the Viva board and see if there's any mention of who's protesting and what they're protesting.
That's an interesting
idea.
Does
it matter?
At least we have the option of going the other way. That's a good thing. If there are protesters there, I think I'll just get out and shove them aside.
You have to go all the way back? You can't turn just to go?
She's taking the Dolphinarium Road now, Cheryl.
We're just going back to the Dolphinarium Road.
The police are saying that they could get through on the road that goes along the water into Las Tenajas and comes out at Miramar.
Right, but do they have to go all the way back to the Dolphinarium? Because we often turn right there at the police station and go across country kind of thing in behind and get out on the Miramar Road.
No, they've got it really blocked. The only way through is to run over a couple of people, and we didn't feel like doing that. I think this is it.
We've even gotten to Walmart from from Guaymas Norte.
You can't get into Guaymas Norte. You can't go anywhere.
So is it actually blocked before the highway?
You get as far as the turn to go to the airport, and that's it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, well, you can turn towards the airport and get into Guaymas Norte.
No, they won't let you.
Oh, geez.
They've got that road blocked, and they've got the road, both sides of the road going into Guaymas block.
Wow.
So I see a lot of cars on the Delfinario Road. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
I was just pulling up a Facebook page to see if there is somebody posting about what's happening. But
I'm on Viva.
I'm not seeing anything yet.
I think the Yawkeys have been protesting a water issue. Is that correct?
Well, that's a safe bet. It's the main protest. Whenever they're protesting, it's the water.
I was too busy practicing. Tenemos una cita con un doctor. I didn't look to see if they were Yawkeys or who they were.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but so far I'm really entertained.
It'd be nice if you shared one of those cookies.
You were in charge of snacks. What happened, Bill? I think they're great. You're supposed to bring drinks?
Well, I brought rum cake.
There you go. And snacks and decorations. You see my lights? I decorated for you guys.
You are awesome.
He said with a mouthful of cookie. Where's your mother? Your mother's not on, I have to tell you.
I'm really surprised they're not on. I know she's dealing...
I specifically have a recommendation for them, but I'll give it...
Can you guys see this beautiful vista?
Mmm.
Isn't that pretty?
I can't see Maggie.
Hope you can see it.
Oh, there.
Let me try again when I get up the hill here. So pretty. Oh, it's so pretty.
I love that road.
I am not seeing anything about a protest on here. I know. I'll check one of the news sites here. I'll check FM 105.
What's the other one called? Opinion Sonora or something?
Opinion Sonora, Radio Sonora.
Oh, that's so pretty.
FM 105.
Oh, Maggie, if I were there, I'd be driving down that road for sure. I love that way into Guaymas. We take it every day.
I was going to say that's my main route to Guaymas.
Really?
All right, it is happening
very, very
live
pretty.
Right now. It is the water company. It's SEA. They say SEA workers take the road.
They have a lot of nerve.
Aquí están dejando pasar a unos vehículos, creo que fue por causa de la ambulancia que pasó hace unos momentos.
I don't know what it is.
Maybe they haven't been paid.
Completamente.
I like the commentary on it, though. It's like, hey, just go back to work, you lazy bastard.
Aquí pueden ver, abrieron una parte.
I'm paraphrasing in English.
Para que puedan transitar, ciertos y cuales vehículos, pero lo toman.
Say that again, Maggie. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said, or learn how to do your job, SEA, those guys.
Yeah.
They should be in training, how to fix a leak.
Well,
bet it's over bonuses.
It's over what?
I bet it's over bonuses, Christmas bonus.
Yeah, maybe. We'll know later. Right now, they're just in the streets watching them let only the fewest amount of cars through.
Maybe they ran out of inner tubes to...
That's what I was thinking. The guy in the street, I don't have a problem with. I just wish they'd give him resources to fix stuff. It's the four guys surrounding the hole that guy is working in, pointing and giving him instructions. It's all the managers and not enough workers that really bother me.
Well, you know, 20 years ago, I remember when they would have trouble with the pump up on the Carrico. They'd have to wait several days to have a little tiny piece fixed because they had to drive to Hermosillo to get it. They didn't stockpile it. They had to drive every time it broke. I think they've passed that stage now, though.
Do any of you remember back when they were building the main road going through San Carlos? About every day, they would rupture a pipe, and they would dig it out, and they would be up to their necks in water trying to repair the pipes. It's funny because it just went on every day, and that was when they were building the road, the main road there.
It really is shameful to see all the water wasted, and think about the people in Guaymas that only get water two or three days a week. They could come to San Carlos with buckets and fill up with the bottom of the Carrico there by Umberto's boat shop. That thing has been leaking for weeks.
Hey,
that was just
I'm in the Ranchitos in San Carlos. I only get water twice a week. I'm from Alaska. This is the only place I've ever lived where you're expected to collect your own water from the city. Sorry, is everybody still there? Didn't mean to be such a downer in the Christmas party, but it's not just Wyoming that gets water a couple of times a week.
When we're usually Christmas in Mexico, we don't get Chinese mandarin oranges, so this is a real treat to be home and to be getting these. The oranges in Mexico are wonderful, but this is unique.
Is that a treat in general or a Christmas treat?
We usually get them around Christmas time, and the Chinese mandarin, it's always at the bottom of your stocking. You know, it's the orange at the very bottom of your stocking, and it was a childhood treat. They don't taste as good as I remember them.
I like them because they're easy to peel.
Yeah, and these aren't as easy as I remember them being. You know, the peel is a little bit tougher on them.
But,
yeah, you used to be able to pull them off. You pulled one piece this way, one piece this way, another piece this way, and you got yourself an elephant head with big ears. So, you know, we always played with our food.
Cheryl, you never grew up.
I know. I'm still working on it.
I always got a stocking full of chocolate, just little mini pieces of variety chocolate. It's still a thing with my family. My parents will go out and buy these big, like almost for Halloween type candy bags, and fill the stockings with chocolate.
Oh.
And there might have been an orange in there. Could have been. I don't think it would have gathered our attention, though.
That was for Jimmy, because he told me I never grew up.
Yep.
So sliding down a list of topics in our Christmas club meeting, does anybody have any recommendations they'd like to make? For movies, TV, books, podcasts.
I got a book for you, Scott.
A book. All right. I'm ready.
Yeah. Pillar to the Sky.
Pillar to the Sky.
Right. William Fortune.
I feel like I've heard his name before.
And it's about the building of a space elevator. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the concept.
Well, that's it. It's a fun read, but technologically sound. And it's something I thought you especially would enjoy, and any of the other sci-fi buffs in the group.
That's awesome. I feel like I know the author's name. Have you read anything else by him?
Yeah, he did One Second After, which was big New York Times bestseller. Let's see.
I got him on Google right now. Ooh.
And One Year After.
You're not the only one that thinks this is a great book.
Well, that's true.
I just looked up the book. It's got a 4.1 out of 5 on Audible.
Where did you get that book, Jimmy? Do you remember?
Linda found it for me someplace. I've been carrying it around for 6 months and finally got to it.
Well, a space elevator. So it's a drama or a thriller around the construction of a space elevator?
Correct. And the technology, the part I'm enjoying the most is the technology behind it. I mean, I'm familiar with the concept, but only in a science fiction format. Fortune would tell you that we have the technology right now to build it today. And that is his hope that somewhere in the next 2 or 3 decades, we actually will do so. And the argument is it is infinitely more cost effective to get men and materials into geosynchronous orbit than using rocket power. So it is more or less the next generation of technology beyond rocket power.
I found the tagline for it. Skyrocketing oil prices, dwindling energy supplies, and a devastating drought, which has led to wars over water threatening the planet. 4 people strive to prevent global chaos.
Well, there's a nice tail behind it. That's true.
Well, from what I understand, we already understand all the technologies for a space elevator, so this would be an interesting read.
Yes, you would enjoy it.
We finished up Hell on Wheels, and I'm sure looking for something to replace it with.
Fargo, Season 4 is an easy recommendation.
Fargo, okay.
Fargo Season 3 was kind of a dud.
Yeah, yeah, don't watch Season 3. You want 1, 2, and 4. 3 doesn't exist.
Oh, then it was 2 that I didn't like.
Okay.
Oh, really? Because I looked on Netflix last night and I found Fargo and it says 3 seasons.
But it's actually, it's got 4 seasons, but the 4th season hasn't been released on Netflix yet. And I'm joking with Maggie. There are 4 seasons. We really enjoyed season 1 and season 2, and season 3 I don't think we even finished it.
It was kind of pukey, wasn't it?
Yeah, it couldn't hold our attention. It wasn't what we had enjoyed in the first 2 seasons. And this
isn't Will Smith is in season 4, right?
It's Chris Rock that's in season 4.
Oh, Chris Rock, okay.
And and it's worth watching him. You know, he's a comedian, but in this he absolutely is not. He does a really good job of playing a straight, tough kind of mafioso guy. And it's actually the humor, that dark black humor, is happening around the situation, but it's not because of him. He's playing a really straight guy and so he'll quip out some just like real mafia kind of line in the middle of this situation that just doesn't call for it. It's really well done. It's gotten us back into Fargo, whereas I felt like season 3 really we kind of ended with it.
Good. I'll watch for that. Did anybody, I'm sure I've missed so many meetings, I don't know if you all talked about it, but has anyone watched The Queen's Gambit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Fabulous.
We all talked about
absolutely
that one.
Absolutely fabulous.
Excellent, yeah. And then I just finished, I forget the name of it, The Unabomber. And now I'm watching Manhunt about, what was his name? The security guard at the Georgia Olympics. Richard Jewell. That's a good one, too.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember the name of that one? That's a Netflix, right?
They're both on Netflix, yes. You need a VPN for the Richard Jewell one.
Okay. I think I watched the Unabomber one, but I don't think I've seen the Richard Jewell one. The Unabomber one was good.
Yeah, that was very good, how the linguistic forensics captured that guy. That was pretty interesting.
We started a new one that's showing up on DirecTV called The Judge.
The Judge.
The Judge. He's in New Orleans, and he's a local judge, and his son accidentally kills a mafioso. So we'll see how that works.
Ah, all right. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Is that brand new?
Yeah, the first 3 30-minute ones, or the first 2 I've watched, they just came on.
Does anybody? Oh, go ahead.
And what are you watching it on, Chester?
On DirecTV.
DirecTV, okay.
DirecTV. That's also AT&T, isn't it? That's also.
I don't know if the streaming AT&T has it or not.
Is that the same company though? It seems like didn't AT&T and DirecTV. And now Warner Brothers and HBO, they're all the same company now, aren't they?
Yeah, except they're trying to sell DirecTV. They're not making the money on it they had anticipated. Losing a lot of customers to streaming.
Well, and they're sacrificing them to themselves, right? Because they're doing streaming in another part of their business.
Right.
Well, does anybody have any Christmas entertainment recommendations? Any absolute to see Christmas movies or books or podcasts? Nothing.
We gave that one last couple of weeks about Dash and Lily, which was a fun Christmassy thing, where teenagers, kind of older teenagers, anyways, exchanging journal entries and giving each other dares in the city of New York. Trying to get to know each other without knowing each other. It was a fun little movie, a fun little series. I think there were 8 parts, mini series.
What fun!
Yeah. Well, not Christmassy, but one that we've started recently is the Selena series on Netflix. And what I learned is I know nothing about Selena, apparently. Because I had no idea that they had been making music since she was a young teenager. I actually playing gigs when she was 9, 10 years old because she had such a strong voice.
Yeah, it's quite the story. I watched a Canadian, a CBC series called Northern Rescue. And I kept looking at the main actor in it, and I thought, oh, my God, he looks like a Baldwin. Well, turns out he is. William Baldwin, I think a lesser-known one. But it was an interesting story with a family situation, and they end up he's a rescue person.
Like mountain rescue?
Mountain, all kind of rescue
That's outdoor rescue.
Northern Rescue, and they end up living in an like an aquarium, a closed down aquarium place, and has a penguin in it. Anyways, it's a nice little story, but it's a family kind of thing.
You got me a penguin. Now I gotta watch it.
Yeah. The penguin's kind of cool.
Paul, are you in?
I wanted to slap that teenage daughter many, many times.
Yeah, well.
Was the penguin played by Danny DeVito?
No. The penguin is actually an animal. But anyways. The other one, I started last year when the first season came out on Netflix, the Kominsky.
I have to hang up now. We're in the midst of traffic, and I have to help my husband find this. Optima Economica and Benny Marcus. So I'll tune in when we're done.
All right, okay, Maggie. Good luck to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Report back. Good luck.
Hey, and Jim and Caroline just joined us. Hey, guys.
Yeah, they're muted, but I'll just finish the Kominsky method. It's Michael Douglas and his friend and their older gentleman. Anyways, it's got a lot of humor in it and a lot of family stuff. And he's an acting coach. So it's an interesting little drama. I highly recommend it.
The Kominsky method.
Okay, Scott, I need your final comments on Mandalorian, the final issue.
Awesome. It was so awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Here he goes.
No, I can't contain myself. It was amazing. And they've done that face. They had to have used a body double, and then they superimposed his face. But it was so believable in this episode. I mean, it just felt right, and it was amazing that I kept thinking, they won't use Luke Skywalker because that's canon for a whole different world. And of course they used Luke Skywalker because we spent two seasons building up to this. And that was just amazing. Almost cried.
You cried about him showing up Mandalorian giving up Grogu?
Everything. That and everything. The announcement of the third season of Mandalorian and the secret Boba Fett series that will be starting at the same time. The Book of Boba Fett. Boba Fett taking over Jabba's old throne room and bringing those other mercenaries into that fold. There was a book back in the day. What was it called? It was something like stories from from Mos Eisley Cantina, or Bounty Hunter stories. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a book of short stories, and they were all based in Tatooine. And so there were all these different stories. There was a story of the, for example, there was the story of the Rancor Monster Keeper, and his life and how he got the monster and raised him. And just a side story. They just take one side character out of the movie and they wrote a whole background to him. And I suspect that's what the Book of Boba Fett's going to be, is it's going to be an anthology series of various stories that are not interconnected in any way, except they're being told from Boba Fett's point of view. This is what I'm assuming is going to happen. But no, very cool. Were you guys as excited as I was? Bill, were you as – no?
Well, no, nobody can be as excited as you.
I was confused about Mark Hamill, and I said, okay, that's one of those impersonators. That's what they did. But I like your take on it, that they technology – they used footage that they had from the first Star Wars of him as young man and superimposed him over the body. Yeah, it was quite interesting. I kind of feel like I need to go back and watch the two series again, because like Bill said last time, we found some things and we thought, well, didn't we meet him before? And we couldn't remember how we had, you know, so.
Well, I mean, it finally came up. What was amazing for Star Wars fans is being able to fill the gap between Return of the Jedi and the new movies, where he's become this kind of hermit that's given up on the Force, the bearded kind of, you know, he's living almost homeless on the Jedi Island. And that was really what kind of frustrated and alienated a lot of Star Wars fans, is because Luke Skywalker is supposed to be this powerful, intimidating user of the Force. And we didn't get to see that when they did the Rian Johnson movie. We got to see this guy that was just disenchanted with the Force, had no interest in teaching. It was a whole different character of Luke Skywalker. So it's neat to be 5 years after Return of the Jedi and to see this very dangerous person coming through, the way he's walking through. And it compares very much to the Darth Vader scene in Rogue One, where at the end he's just cutting down these rebel troopers as he's trying to get at the Death Star plans before they get put in the hands of Princess Leia and R2-D2. If you haven't seen Rogue One, it's a real easy recommendation. It's one of the darker Star Wars movies, and it's really well done.
It is reassuring to know that stormtroopers weren't able to shoot back then either.
Right.
They never hit anything, ever.
That's, you know, one of my in The Mandalorian, isn't that one of the best gags, that last episode of the first season where they've got the scout troopers out there and just killing time trying to shoot at something in the dirt, and they just keep missing it.
They're about as dependable as a red shirt in Star Trek.
Yeah. No, The Mandalorian's a very easy recommendation because I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Well, Scott, the very first time we ever went to the Guaymas movie theater, down the Miramar Road, Maggie's gone now, but anyways, we go in the back way, get into the movie theater, and we watch Star Wars. Now, I can't remember what year that was. 2014, maybe? Did a Star Wars come out at Christmas time? Anyways, and then last year, we went again to the Guaymas Theater and watched the one that came out. Was it last year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2019. Yeah, that was the last of the sequel trilogy.
Right. Yeah. So we went to that. Carolyn is presenting.
What do you got for us, Caroline?
I bet she didn't mean to do that.
No nudes. This is a family show.
Carolyn isn't even here. And
okay, James, what are you doing in Carolyn's name?
you can get away with a lot of stuff.
I'm a Luddite. I even have a present on the net.
Good question.
You can Google me. You can Google me. It go up on Google search. But sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
No worries. Disrupt. At the bottom of your screen in that bar, there should be, yes.
To stop presenting?
Yes. That's what you want to hit. The button that says stop presenting.
There you go. I got that.
All right.
Yay.
Oh, phew, we're back.
Well, look at that, Chris. So, woohoo.
Am I back in my place? Oh, there I am. I see myself now.
I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and to avoid the COVID, but I smell fresh cooking biscuits, so I'm going to go for it.
Oh, Chester, we're going to miss you. Chester, you have a Merry Christmas. Christmas. It's really good to see you.
See you next Tuesday.
Excellent. We'll plan on it.
Good to see you, Chester.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we haven't gotten to any computer topics yet. Does anybody... Hey, I've got on my list, Bill, have you ever accepted my challenge to make a keyword to make your robot dance to music at the same time? Have you tried it yet?
I've tried it, but I haven't got it to work quite the way I want yet.
Okay.
But I was going to have her show up with maybe a Christmas tree on her or something to just make a guest appearance, but I didn't get it done.
Scott, I was just surfing, whatever you call it, clickbaiting, and it was the 20 top tip gifts for your techie in 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going, and the very first one was Bill Susie, the robot that cleans herself, you know, self-cleaning robot for the house. And then we went to the kitchen stuff, and there's his Sous V and his ninja thing and his
different. I had about 15 out of 20 of them.
You're going down the top 20 gifts to give your mate for Christmas, and Bill's already bought himself the first 15.
That's correct. And they're all technology things, and they're for the kitchen, and they're for the house. And, oh, there was the Echo Dots, and there was the Alexa things, and all the light bulbs. Make your home a smart home, and it's crazy. But anyways, Bill already has received all of the top 20 gifts.
Well, now that's...
Which means I don't get anything for Christmas.
Yeah, but it sounds like you have a nice life.
Yeah, I do. And the sourdough bread's in the proofer right now.
Oh, all right. We've been doing all kinds of baking throughout the quarantine. And my youngest has really gotten into making homemade brownies, homemade from scratch, right? In fact, she's disappointed with us right now because we're out of chocolate powder. So we need to get more chocolate powder so she can make her brownies. And her sister and I are my wife, Yuya, doesn't eat a lot of sweets. You know, you got people that are into sugar and people that are into salt. She's a salt person. I'm a sugar person. My kids are sugar people. And my eldest daughter and I are convinced that my youngest daughter is making some of the best desserts that we've had. These just gorgeous chocolate chip cookies that you couldn't hope to buy from a cookie store, or these brownies that are just amazing. To think that it's all by scratch, you couldn't possibly get the same style brownie from a box. It's amazing. She's 13 years old and she's just gotten bored during quarantine, so she started baking.
I loved the way she did the intro, and she was busy melting butter. I have to melt this butter. Oh, the butter is sizzling. It was great.
When I started doing those intros to our club, I would plan them out. We would sit down together, kind of like we're on a recording studio with two different mics, and we would go back and forth for a bit, and then I'd clip it together to something. But I realized that was just way too much commitment for both of us. And so I started impromptu bringing my phone to a situation and going, hey, let's do the intro. And the last half dozen, she's been in the kitchen baking something at the same time.
Scott, you're talking about people liking sugar. In the Depression, in the 1930s, my mom and dad were farmers. And they would, I guess it would be during the war, the sugar was rationed. So the women in the farm community would save up their sugar as much as they could. And my mom had a drum out in the trees that she used to hide her sugar in because it was illegal to hoard it. You could not save it.
Oh, wow.
And the women in the farm community would do that. And then when somebody, like when there was a wedding coming and they needed a wedding cake, they'd all get together and throw their sugar together and somebody would bake the cake. But it's the only way you could make a cake because you couldn't get, you wouldn't have enough on hand if you did it the way that you were supposed to. That's my little story and I'm done.
What time period was that?
A rationing. So it would have been during the war, 39, 45, somewhere in there.
Oh, wow. Hey, Judy's with us. Merry Christmas, Club.
She's still there.
I see her, but I can't hear her. She's muted. Muted.
Her mic's off.
Ooh, she sounds mad. Maybe we're lucky she's muted.
No, I'm happy. I just came back from the dentist and all is well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
You were not in a dentist in Guaymas. You were in a dentist in San Carlos.
I was.
Yeah, because we've been listening to Maggie is stopped from entering Guaymas.
Well, I think she made it.
Why?
Because the SEIA workers are protesting and they have blocked off the main road.
Oh, huh. Not in San Carlos.
Right before the airport road, it seems like. Huh. So she couldn't turn off at the airport to go around it. They actually had to turn around and go back to the Dolphinarium Road to get into Guaymas.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And we haven't had an update since because I think she's in the eye doctor. Maybe she'll give us an update on the way back.
You know, when she was talking about her safari, on my iPad, it keeps telling me that my Safari, and I'm using an old browser, and Facebook will tell me, you know, that feature is not available on this browser. So I went to the App Store to download an upgraded version of Safari, and she's right. You cannot get Safari on the App Store.
Well,
that's right, because yesterday she had emailed me, and I had given her some suggestions, but I also read that you cannot delete Safari.
Well, that's what she told us this morning, but she has.
So. Yeah, apparently it's off of her phone. She may have to actually just flash the phone to factory settings and then restore it to the latest operating system.
I haven't told her this one that I found, that she can just reset her home page. So I don't know.
I'm not
reset
sure.
Her home page?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means, Judy.
Reading. Well, I let me see if I still have it here because I was reading it yesterday. It says, make sure the app isn't hiding in a folder or on one of and on one of the home screens. But where did I read it? It's one of the, because it's still up here.
I wonder what resetting a home screen means That's, in iOS.
Well, see, I couldn't figure that
reset
out.
Reset home screen layout in iOS 14.
Right, but
how
that's...
to reset the home screen layout.
Well, I mean,
wow, this is
I'm
a current in... issue too, isn't it? Look at that.
I'm in settings on my iPad, and I scrolled down, and I've got Safari. So I went into Safari, and it's got all these things that I can do: the search engine, the general.
I get the impression this resetting home screen is something that came along with iOS 14.
And it says that I didn't see this one. Common solutions for Safari disappeared from iPhone.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what she needs.
Swipe down from the middle of your iPhone's home screen and a search bar appears. Touch it and enter Safari and the search results get updated in real time and you will get Safari as you type.
I think she tried that.
You can type more. And it will show if the app is hidden anywhere. I didn't know that either.
Oh, as long as we're on these phone tips, I just wanted to say that tip about the space bar, moving your positioning. I think, Cheryl, you were the one that was sharing that with us.
I used it this morning.
I have Android. Well, I don't know if the Android version matters. I have Android version 7. We're up to Android version 10. And I use Gboard, which is a Google keyboard, which is default in most phones now. And the exact same effect works on an Android phone. So if you have an Android phone out there, there's a very good chance you've got a spacebar that does the same thing. You hold the spacebar and swipe back and forth and it moves your cursor line, that I bar, in your text, just like on an iPhone. And I didn't realize that the last time we talked about it.
Huh. I have a Galaxy something or other Android phone. And so far what it's done is when it rings, I can't answer it. I don't know what is going on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks, Scott.
I was showing Judy. She didn't see my Kringle yet.
Yeah, Judy, we've all had different specs and everything. And
I'm showing off my Christmas gear now for Judy. Cheryl, I don't think I understand your question.
my phone will ring, my Android phone.
Okay.
And the screen is locked because I haven't been using it or anything. And
okay.
The little phone thing shows up. So I click, 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 and it won't answer the phone. All my phone calls go to, you know, I get one every week. It goes to my voicemail, and then I have to figure out who's phoned me and all this kind of stuff. I think I have to, like, it's got a thing on the back with my finger sensor to unlock it, the screen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have to unlock the screen before I can access the answer the phone, which is totally ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but it might be the case if you have permissions that allow you to not receive phone calls on a locked screen.
Oh, maybe that's what I need to go to settings and figure if that's what it says.
I would look in a, it sounds like a permissions issue to me, because if you can get into it by authorizing the phone, then what's happened is you've probably set something that doesn't allow the lock screen. I mean, it's a privacy issue. If your phone was on the couch and you left it there and it started ringing, somebody couldn't pick it up unless they had your fingerprint.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I've done something like that. You know, I use it as my reader for my blood sugar tester.
Okay.
On my arm.
Yeah.
And it's a Alberta telephone number, but so nobody ever phones it except doctor's offices and things like that. So it's not used as a phone very often, is what I'm trying to say.
You'll,
it's those people that don't want to phone me on my long distance iPhone.
Ah. So. Well, you can get Bill to call your phone half a dozen times as you try and troubleshoot what's wrong with it.
Yeah, if I had the will, I'd find the way. But it's not a big problem in my life. So.
Well, what else do we have as topics? I'm just running down my list and seeing it. Here's something that I thought the Americans would be interested in. Apparently, they have the FCC. There is a law banning rental fees for customers owning rentals that took effect on Sunday. So from my read of this is that your internet service provider can no longer charge you a rental fee for their equipment.
Wow.
That's what I get from
that's
this.
Cool.
So I'll put this, you guys can do your own reading and gather your own opinion of it, but I think that you should check your internet provider in the States. Hey, those are some good looking cookies.
Sorry, Christmas cake, fruit cake. It's a drink.
Yummy.
Morning.
All right, but that's the Canadians distracting us from an American topic.
Well, you showed your cookies. We had to go get ours.
I'll put a link to this article, but I essentially, if you have internet service in the States, you should look into whether you're paying a monthly price just for the equipment, and it looks like you should not be any longer, which is cool. It's good and bad, because what's probably going to happen is your internet service provider is going to hit you with a one-time fee for equipment. They'll no longer be responsible for the equipment after a warranty period. And if it fails, you're probably going to have to buy it again. So all this stuff is a double-edged sword. But just so we know what's going on, that's what's going on. Nobody...
I'll have to look at my bill, probably in the fine print somewhere.
I know that's the way it works in Alaska with GCI. I know we don't own any of that equipment. It is all part of the service fee. But consequently, what I also know that means is the moment it fails, we can bring it into an office and get another one.
Right.
Right? If our network isn't working well, they're responsible for it all the way up into that equipment. And so I'm not sure whether this is actually a good thing or a bad thing, but at least for a few folks, they might find that their fees go down. I guess what I would want to pay attention to it, because if it is affecting us, then I would want to see our fees go down. So we should be paying attention to that. But we should also recognize who's responsible for that equipment now, and it seems like it's going to be us, not them.
We've been through a couple of those things. The Canadian government has promised that every Canadian will have access to internet. They've been promising that a lot of years, but they are doing all kinds of things to make that available to our different remote communities and things like that. They also have a bunch of rules and regulations on our providers, cell phone providers and internet providers, because our cell phones are ridiculously expensive, and they ding us all kinds of fees, not just in calls, but data, all kinds of things. That's why we have a U.S. cell phone, because we couldn't afford what we have in the U.S., in Canada. We just basically could not afford it. So it's ridiculous, the prices that we pay.
That's wild.
There are lots of different changes.
Because I know that in the European Union, they usually point at the United States as being incredibly expensive and restrictive in their cell phone practices. And you're in Canada saying, no, we wish it was like the United States.
Yeah.
Well, I've felt like internet in Mexico is incredibly reasonably priced, both cell phones and landlines. I think that it's just very, very available in this country as opposed to in the United States. What else do we have on the list of Scott's topics? Hey,
Scott, while you're looking.
What is that, Bill?
I was at the library yesterday, and I picked up an audiobook, and this is it.
What?
This little unit here. Is, you know,
you checked out an audiobook and they gave you a device?
Yeah, it comes in a little its own little case, whatever, and so you slide a battery. You slide a battery in it.
Sure. I don't see Bill's picture. It's just a circle with a B in the middle.
Oh well.
Look at me. I've got him broadcasting on my picture. If you can see it.
You put a AAA battery in it, and you plug a set of headphones in it, or, you know, it's got an audio out. And away you go. It's got all the whole book is on here. I assume when you check it back in, they unload that book and just load up another book whenever they need it. It's
show like us that again. Does it have, like, the book cover on it? Like a graphic for it?
Yeah, on the back.
Look at that.
This particular one, yeah.
I mean, if you don't mind sharing your... I bet that's the book.
I guess maybe it is. Maybe this was the stencil or the tag is permanent on there. So maybe you're right. This is the book.
I've seen them in the library. There's rows and rows of them, like they're DVDs, only these ones. It's kind of like a DVD case that it comes in. And these are all in there, and you check them out for as long as you want. But I didn't realize what was inside there was a little player.
Like a little nano.
Okay, so I'm just going to be a little devil's advocate. Isn't that all the worst parts about a book? Is like having to go get it, having to carry it around with you, having to be responsible for getting it back?
Well, that's a book.
But like you could go to Hoopla and just download it right into your phone and listen to it.
Well, when I checked out, I got the actual paper book. And when I was checking it and looking at it online, it said, well, I thought it was an ebook. I thought I could download it into my reader. And I said, okay, I'll take that too. I just wanted to try it out. And it came this way.
The technology is very interesting, but I'm stuck at that. After it being interesting technology that just seems like a real pain in the ass. I mean, I got to go get it, and I got to bring it back by a certain time.
Well,
I think it's for people that don't have, they don't have iPads, they don't have access to things where they can download Hoopla. I think these audio books have been around for a long time, like pre.
Thank you, Cheryl. I bet you're right. I bet that this is your library's endeavor for equal access, regardless of the kind of technology that you have at home.
For the visually impaired, for the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great way to look at that technology, because, yeah. That's cool. Bill, I had never seen anything like that.
No, I'd never seen it either. So I just thought, that's kind of cool, but... I threw a battery in it. I'll plug it in and listen to it for a little bit, but I probably won't use it.
So did you have to provide your own battery?
Yeah. You have to put as soon as you open the thing up, it says you have to have your own earphones and your own battery, because those are the two things that would probably disappear pretty quick.
And they sell them at the library desk.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, they're getting into a whole different business.
Yeah. They're a one-stop shopping place. Once it's locked down and we can't go in, but when you put something on hold, they will send you an email, tell you it's ready. And then you go online and they've got four stations, and every 10 minutes they will put the person that's booked for that time's stuff out on the table, go back in the library, and then you come in and you pick it up in the hallway. And yeah, so it's contactless picking up of items. When you return your stuff, they keep it in a remote room for 36 hours or 3 days or something, anyways, before they touch it.
And, under UV lights, killing viruses, making sure it's disinfected. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, that is a librarian at the University of Fairbanks, and we used to get into these discussions about what's going to happen to a library in the future. And his direction was always people are going to need research assistants. They're going to need people that understand how to research and how to find information and what different resources were that were available, because people aren't going to just have at their fingertips. I mean, and I hear myself saying it's like, yeah, but you know, there's Google and most of us function in that. My attitude was the library was always going to end up like a rent to own center, where you go and you check out a snowblower, you check out a, you know, some device that you need that you don't buy. Some, I need a hand drill for the next week because I'm working on a shelving project. Because all the content has been digitalized, so it seems like anything they're doing to share books is kind of on its way out. So how do you utilize a library anymore?
Well, the card catalogs are all gone. Nobody even knows what the hell they are anymore.
Well, and they could just as well do away with Dewey Decimal System. I know I've just hurt somebody's feelings by saying that, but they could put barcodes on everything. You could have a drone going down the shelves scanning barcodes for you. And still, why would you do it for archival purposes? Because why would you put out anything that wouldn't be instantly at your fingertips from a download button? It's unique. In fact, I shouldn't get into it. I'll wait till after Christmas to get into some of the stuff I've got. Just out of fear one of my kids might be curious what I'm doing, I won't share them before Christmas.
Well, this library is the main city library, and it is basically, and it's right across from the street from a big high school, and it's a study center. There's a huge area there with tables and carrels, and every one of them has internet or power, and there's internet available all through the place. And there's all kinds of high school kids hanging out. And they bring their lunches. There's a big change. Their meals are sitting on their desk. They're munching away and drinking and studying and chatting. The whole, it's a big social event.
I think that's great.
When I first got my iPad, I signed up for, I think it was called Seniors Get to Know Your iPad or something like that. And it was three different sessions, you know, one a week for 3 weeks. And they're the ones that, you know, told me about all kinds of little tricks and things. And, it was very, very helpful. They have all kinds of clubs that meet. And, you know, English is the first language, or is English as the second language groups just get together for a coffee and talk. You know, so
they have contests.
Yeah, too. Oh, yeah. We have won different gift cards for Indigo bookstores. And the farmer's market is just outside every Friday. And yeah, it is the hub, and they're building seniors complexes kind of attached to it between the library, the city town hall, and the entertainment center, a big concert hall. They've got all these three-story apartment buildings that are all seniors housing, but 50-plus apartments.
Wow.
Is that in Sherwood Park?
That's Sherwood Park. Yeah, it's quite the place. Yeah.
Sherwood Park.
A little bedroom community to the big metropolis of Edmonton. And it, like, there's no change. You drive from Edmonton to Sherwood Park and it's across the freeway. You know, that's the distance.
Sherwood Park, Hamlet in Canada.
Yeah. A hamlet. It is the biggest hamlet ever because it's still part of the county.
It's like you're reading from Wikipedia. It says Sherwood Park is a large hamlet in Alberta, Canada.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I don't understand what a hamlet is.
A hamlet is usually it's a town, a municipality without a government. Basically, it's too small usually to have their own mayor and their own councilors. So the mayor of the county is actually the mayor of this large city.
Wait a second. So I live in a hamlet. San Carlos is a hamlet.
It's a village.
Well, no, it doesn't have a.
It would be a hamlet.
Yeah.
It has no elected government.
That's right.
The elected government is the further up the line.
Some would argue Wyoming doesn't have an elected government either.
Well, so, now you're getting into politics.
Yeah.
I mean, we can segue right into Trump with that.
Wait, no, let's not do that. Let's. I do, Bill. If you can identify the device that you're, I would like to read more about it. If you have like a name brand on that device or something, please shoot it over
to
me.
Don't take it apart, Billy. Don't take it apart.
Hatchet.
How many screws does it have?
Okay. Yeah, none. They're probably covered up. No, HACHETTE audio.
Hold on, you got me at H.
H-A-C-H-E-T-T-E
book hatchet book
audio. That's all it says on it is hatchet audio. Oh, and then I'm sorry, on the front is play away, one word.
Play away?
Yeah. Now is there anything else on this thing? Hatchet audio, play away. All in one audio book.
Preloaded audiobooks, learning apps, videos, and read-along give libraries everything. Looks like Playaway
is
a thing.
Yeah, my.playaway.com.
Built for you. Oh, here it is. That's the device, right?
Yep, that's it.
Preloaded audiobooks, learning apps, videos, read-alongs give libraries everything they need to promote literacy, bridge the digital divide, and make technology accessible to everyone.
And It's got the play button, but it's got jump chapter button, fast forward, fast reverse, and then it's got a speed. I believe it says something in there that it has.
So you can speed up.
Yeah. Where the hell did I see that? Oh, five narration speeds. So you can get it right up to Donald Duck.
That's cool. I'm going to add that to today's meeting too.
There you go. Available only in Sherwood Park, largest hamlet in Canada.
The largest hamlet in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, Jim's with us. He has ordered some new smartphones that I was reading about that sounded very intriguing. They're $139 smartphones. They are claiming to be eco-friendly. What are they called? They're called the Terra Cube 2E. And I've got a review here that you guys might find interesting. The idea is that they're supposed to be sustainable smartphones, real cheap, with a replaceable battery. And the idea is that they're offering 3 years of Android and security updates. And this is really what caught my eye. I've recently purchased a new phone. Gosh, I hope my kids aren't paying attention. For my daughter. And I mean, it's new. It's 2020 phone, right? But from my experience, it's a Huawei. From my experience, that will, if we're lucky, get the next Android. And maybe not, because of the situation Huawei's in right now. So we may be at Android 9 on that phone and never go to Android 10. And we will get security updates for that version for a couple of iterations. But I know that my Huawei's are behind in security updates. Like, they've just abandoned that product to go on to the next product. So what Jim was telling me about this phone I find really intriguing, because they're basically saying for $140, You've got a halfway decent smartphone, and you don't have to worry about a phone again for 3 years. You can replace the battery if it goes bad, and the security from the software updates is going to be matched for the next 3 years. I mean, assuming there's still a company in 3 years from now. It has some pretty decent smartphone features. And if you guys are interested in this, I'll put a link on today's meeting. I don't have a list of the features here on the review. The review is actually a YouTube video, so it's worth watching. I like the price and the fact that you could pay that little money for a halfway decent smartphone and it would still be in your life. It could still be in your life 3 years from now, which probably makes it an ideal choice for folks that are casual phone users or kids. You want your kid running around with a phone, but you don't want to have much invested in it. It's probably one of the things that you have to worry about as a parent. I know I've given both my kids phones that the security updates have fallen out of date, and so I've created a security hole in our life by giving them equipment that has fallen out of date. So if you had a kid and you're worried about the best security possible, well, you'd probably buy them an iPhone. But if you were like me and on a budget, you'd probably be looking for a $140 phone that I wouldn't have to worry about for the next few years. One of the reasons I'm replacing my eldest's phone is she's had it for 4 years.
4 years. Speaking of security updates, have you guys been all over the breach of security in Washington? You probably went over that before I got here, right?
Actually, thanks for bringing up, Jim. I don't have it on my list, but I've been seeing it. It's just kind of washing over us.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Just out of curiosity, Jim is sitting against the dark couch with his dark sweater, and he looks like a giant snowflake with a head.
Yeah. But I do think
you look like you're on the Muppets. What is that?
I think he wins the Santa Claus beard.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't have a Santa Claus hat though.
Well, that's close enough. That's Elmore. Scottish Santa Claus.
That's right. It's for a subordinate clause.
So
a subordinate clause.
So just off the top of my head, without any of the information in front of me, if you haven't gathered what has happened, is that a third party that creates tools for network monitoring has been compromised. And because of the nature of their tools, it immediately gave hackers access into these very secure networks. Like the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Defense.
The department that maintains the nuclear arsenal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you heard too. I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
Over half the Fortune 500.
Yeah. So for me, it's a bit overwhelming to try and keep track of where it starts and begins. I haven't done a good job of following it.
Going to have to go back to pen and paper.
Yeah, well, what'll be interesting is this is one of the biggest compromises that our culture has had. And we said that about Equifax. But this is right in with international espionage and the way we run our countries, the way we run our states. And, you know, we will do the same thing we've done in the past. We will bury it and move forward. And somebody in the background is going to work on it so it can't happen again. But we're not going to know the fallout of what has been compromised for years.
Yeah. And we are truly going to know for quite a while who did it.
I thought the Russians did it.
Well, gee, our current president says it's the Chinese. So who knows?
Well, that just settles it. There. It must not be the Chinese.
So I have a question. Has anybody upgraded to Big Sur?
On their Macintoshes. The latest version of Mac OS.
Yes.
Fred's here. Fred is frozen on my screen.
No, I haven't upgraded to it yet.
Mine too.
Oh, come on. You do it first.
I haven't heard anything good from the upgrade.
Well, they've already gone. I think it's a, it's got a point something after the original one, so they've changed it a bit.
I'm not saying it isn't safe to upgrade to. In fact, I always wait for a point something before doing an upgrade. And I've mentioned before, my equipment's all out of date, so I'm not getting the latest Big Sur. It really is difficult, I imagine, to unless you have, I don't know, unless your plan is bringing in the new equipment into your workflow. If everything's working, it's hard to want to. That operating system represents this transition onto these new Mac chips. And so as an older Mac owner, I mean older Mac, not that you're older, but the Macintosh is older.
The person with an older Mac.
Thank you. Thank you. The person with the older Mac may not be interested in moving quickly to that operating system if everything's working, because they're not worried about you.
There are new app updates that don't work unless you have upgraded to Big Sur.
Is that true? There are Mac apps right now that aren't working unless you're at Big Sur. That would be unusual for Macs.
It says this is an app to for Big Sur. It's like, not that I use them, like I just don't like to see the red dots telling me that I have something that needs to be done.
Oh, you know what? I bet you're looking at Apple apps, aren't you? You're looking at
like GarageBand and those kind of apps.
Yeah, and that's all, I hear you. That's all social engineering, and they're experts at it. They're like, let's put a red dot, making it clear there's a new version of this app you don't even use. That you cannot take advantage of unless you go ahead and upgrade your system.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those red dots are infuriating. I mean, they push people into updates all the time. I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to upgrade than it is to downgrade.
Yes. And so I've been waiting. I've been very patient.
I always go by the playbook. Is it working now? Is it, especially if you're in business? I know we're mostly, I mean, I'm in business, but most of the people in this group are using computers casually. I mean, aggressively casual, but casually. and in that, but somebody that's actually got a workflow, somebody that's out there taking pictures and doing development, I wouldn't recommend they update to it, because all you're looking forward to is stuff not working. Or new versions of software you're going to have to get into just to do the same thing you were doing. I have to chastise myself every week because there's some update to something I do in my workflow. And it definitely happens like 24 hours before the computer club. And I have to slap my wrist going, this is not the time to do that update. Everything worked last week. I want it to work this week. So let's get through this week, and then we'll see whether we want to update or not.
Good thinking.
Well, Apple's good about their, what is it, Apple card?
Their credit card?
That you get a dot saying, you haven't installed all of your stuff yet. You haven't installed your Apple credit card. Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
That's right. There should be somewhere where you can just checkbox all these things that you, or it should learn. I mean, they keep talking about all this machine learning. It should just learn. You're not interested. I haven't hit that button for 6 months. Stop putting a red dot in front of me.
Yeah, but Scott, what the system has learned that if they put that up there often enough, a certain percentage of people are going to do it. That's what it's learned.
Just to get them gone.
That's right.
Yeah, just get rid of them.
Well, you heard, and I didn't come here prepared to talk about this, but you heard about the Uber. I was just listening to this great podcast going over, I think it was SB22 in California, where they're putting together this law that would cover Uber drivers. Right. And the idea is that in California, you can't be a gig worker. I mean, that's actually the way they phrased it to people to get them to not get on board with it is that you're going to have to you're an employee of Uber and they're responsible for providing you with health care and overtime and being concerned about you. It's essentially not making it a gig job. And it caused a lot of trouble in, for example, the publishing industry, where there's a lot of freelance writers. And freelance writers for a while were, finding themselves going, do I have to leave state to be a freelance writer for a publication in California? Because if I'm in California, I have to belong to some news network that can provide me with benefits. So it created all this turmoil, and it's still out there creating turmoil. But this SB 22 is a law that was put together recently, and it was an amendment that would make an exception for Uber and Lyft, the companies that they were most concerned about not providing for their employees. They spent millions of dollars lobbying to have this exemption put in place so that they don't have to follow the law. One of the nefarious things that Uber did was they put on the app. This is the first time I heard about this, so I'm sorry about the details. They're just not fresh in my mind. But what they did in their app is they put a little icon in Uber. Let me first explain. If you don't know what Uber does, Uber shows you all the cars that are driving around in the app. And so you're able to click on a car and see what kind of driver it is, what kind of rating they've got, what kind of car they are, how much they charge, things of that nature, a profile of the driver. But you look at an Uber map and you see these cars driving around. Well, if you're a driver, what they did is they changed the car icon to an icon that shows if you like a little badge that shows you have support for this SB 22 law, this new one. And they put in the app this frustrating pop-up every time you open the app asking you if you support SB 22. And you can say no, but the next time you open the app, it'll ask you again, and you can say no, and you can continue to function that way, or you can just hit yes and go on about your life. And so they set this up in the Uber app so that an Uber driver who got frustrated of always having to answer this question would just say yes so he didn't have to answer the question, and now appears to anyone on Uber to be in support of this legislation. It won. Uber is exempt from these restrictions. And these are some of the practices that I've never used app. I have it installed on my phone for the one time I thought I was going to use it. But that in itself to me is reason enough to second guess whether you should be using that service. That they would be getting inside people's mind space and kind of manipulating their vision of where people support. They really played a role in the politics in California in this case. But it was effective the exact same way. How many people just hit the button so it stops asking you the question? They did that on purpose. They created it so that people would finally just say, yeah, I'm in support of it because I want this question to go away. And it did get passed. Complicated issues. I don't know if you pay attention to the way gig workers are working. Essentially, Uber developed an app that made it easy for people to use their car to drive people around. I guess I don't have a problem with that, but California does have a problem with people not having health care or overtime, which I guess I have a problem with that too. So it's a complicated issue. I kind of feel like as an American, I should be able to just go and do whatever work we have deemed legal, not to be illegal work, right? If I could share my car and make a few bucks, I think I should be allowed to do that. At the same time, I can see where the state would be concerned. I get in an accident and there's no way to cover my health care bills, or a company taking advantage of people by overworking them because they can pay them the bare minimum. or the ability to pay them the bare minimum to wipe out an entire other industry. And, mm-hmm. and I think that's where we're at right now is we're looking back going, wow, with just a few clicks, they wiped out the livelihood and industry that had been there for, geez, almost 100 years. I mean, how long have taxis been around?
Well, in London for centuries.
Yeah. And within just a few clicks in a couple of years, they're getting wiped out all over the world. The people that are doing the new business, it might be cheaper for you, and people that are needing a side gig, like teachers that don't get paid enough for their job, they need a second job to make ends meet, are out there using their personal vehicles, paying their own insurance, dealing with their own health care, but they can make a few bucks and they're happy for it, given the circumstances. What a complicated issue.
You know, it's a brave new world to be on. And going back to the way we were before.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Jim, go ahead and complete your thought. And Paul, well, we'll get you next.
Going back to the way we were, is probably not the prime option for getting out of this situation. Going back to the old way, well, you know, it didn't always work. You know, we have an opportunity here. I hope something happens of it.
Yeah, I would say, I think what all this recognizes is that we as a community need to be regulating these activities. This has happened simply because people weren't paying attention or not understanding what was going on. Paul, yeah, what were you going to ask? I'm sorry, Jim.
Well, regulations are just
okay, yeah.
Rules. Oh, go ahead, Fred. Or Paul, is it Paul?
Go ahead, Paul. What was your question?
My situation now is a good internet service coming into the house, but I'm down in my laboratory and I've got a router and I have an extender downstairs with me here. And it's not working real well. It's a Linksys. The router's a Linksys and so is my extender. But so I've been looking at mesh. You can get one node, which is your new router, and it supposedly covers 1,200 square feet of house. But then the next system is three routers. And so you have one is your main router, and then the other two you place in your house. And my question is, do you place them as far away from the main router as you can? Or
yeah, you definitely have a limitation on how far away from the main area. But what you have that's different from traditional, like the classic extended network that you have, is you don't have to worry about them getting within their own pockets of broadcast. Like with the classic network is called a star network. So you have a base station, and then you have an extension. You have an extender that's another node hanging off from the base station. So if you bring a third one in, that's an extension from the base station. And if you get these three too close to each other, you start ending up with conflicts. In the mesh paradigm, you don't have to worry about that there won't be conflicts because any one of them can be the route back to the main internet connection. And with the classic, what I was just describing about the star, that's not the case. You can't hop from one extender to another extender. The extender you're on has to make its way back to the base station. And
you have to be able to log into either one.
Well, it's only talking to, like, you're on the extender in your den. That extender can only talk back to the base station. So if there's another Wi-Fi access point close to you, somewhere like virtually like in the middle of that, that will not offer you any advantages. That will actually cause disadvantages. It'll create an environment where Wi-Fi can conflict with each other. Or even at just the user interface, you may be connected to a poor signal and it won't jump over to a better signal. It'll just keep you stuck on that poor signal because it won't know to let go of it. And mesh does that kind of stuff. As far as you're concerned, it's all one thing. Yeah. And if you're transferring packets to the internet and all of a sudden the route to from your extender, from your node over to the other mesh node is actually faster back to the base station than your node right back to the base station, then it'll shoot packets that direction. And you're not even thinking about which device you're connected to at any given moment.
Yeah, okay.
So I would recommend if you're going to get into mesh, you should do it with at least three. I mean, two will work, but you're still kind of having the same.
That's like $150.
Now, Jim's turned me on to this Deco, this TP-Link Deco M5, which is like $150 for the three units. And I have no personal experience with the equipment. Jim doesn't either. Jim's going to get it after Christmas. And so we'll get some firsthand knowledge from Jim on how well it works. Okay. I think good. He's listening to us right now. I hope he knows I want to be involved in that so I know how it goes. But I did have a nice story from a friend who told me that that he went ahead and used that particular device in his house with five units, and he was so thankful that I turned him on to the mesh idea. He had a star network of Ethernet cables running to like three different areas in his house and had extenders on the ends of those cables. He tells me he's not even using the cables anymore. So he got five units to cover his two-story house all the way out to his garage. And he says he's got 150 megabytes flowing all over his house anywhere he wants it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So I'm personally still using Mac. Let's see. I'm using Apple AirPort Extremes, which were great equipment at the time. But they are 802.11n, if you remember the old Wi-Fi nomenclature. 802.11a, 802.11b, 802.11g, 802.11n, and then 802.11ac, and then 802.11af or ax. You'll never hear af or ax any longer because they're going to call it Wi-Fi 6. And the 802.11ac you may have heard, but really that's dubbed Wi-Fi 5 now. And so my equipment is still 802.11n. It's the equivalent of what you'd call Wi-Fi 4, but nobody would call it Wi-Fi 4. It's 802.11n. And so I'm ripe for an equipment upgrade. We've had a number of problems in the house that can only be attributed to just Wi-Fi interference. And I'm excited that I've heard good things from a friend that's using this equipment. I'm excited Jim's going to be using this equipment because I think I'm going to be buying the same equipment as soon as he gives a good review of it.
Well, I'll wait till you guys have a review.
Yeah, I think that price point makes it really desirable, whereas the next piece of equipment I was looking at was twice that price. I'll stay with 802.11n on Apple Extreme with its set of problems. If my next upgrade is a $300 package, I'll make it work until there's smoke coming out of my routers. But if the next upgrade is $150, then I'm in.
Sounds good.
Have we got any other questions? We've kind of run late again, like we typically do. It's about a half hour after the hour. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys have brought or talk more about any topics.
We start slow, but we finish strong.
That's right. Anybody that gives up with us at the beginning doesn't know what they've missed.
Right.
So, Scott, my question is Santa Claus real?
Is Santa Claus? Of course. Just in case my kids are listening. Of course.
There's four of them in the world for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Virginia. Santa Claus is real.
Dr. Fauci gave him an immunization. So
yes, I saw that. Right. Good for Fauci.
That's funny.
That's right. In the health officer for Canada has given him a status as an essential worker.
That's awesome.
So he can travel. Hey, I don't know whether it's as exciting for you as it is for those of us that are here, but I got to show for those of you that know about Vancouver Island. Look at that!
Oh dear!
But see that window?
Oh yeah!
It's absolutely blazing sunshine out there,
which is right.
a very rare occasion here for us. And not only that, but if you look out out the window, there's snow on the ground, which is a very, very rare occasion in Qualicum Beach here. So we're going to have a white Christmas, maybe.
Are you a skier? Sunshine. Will you go out and do some cross-country skiing?
I'm a downhill skier myself. I mean, I do both, but yeah. I like downhill. It's a rush. It's like sailing, you know. It's that big free ride where nature is taking you, gravity on your side. I'm hoping to get out there again.
My mom was
72 years old.
Most people in Qualicum Beach don't own any ski equipment because this is extremely rare. Correct?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
They got a good rental system, and you can get up to the minute stuff to rent up there. You know, if you go to we've got a really good ski hill up there, and they're open already.
Yeah, we have a friend that teaches skiing up there at the ski hill, a retired teacher that we used to work with.
It's called Mount Washington, and it's a good club. So, anyways, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everyone, and you're safe and happy where you are. Everybody well fed.
Thank you, Jim.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. Don't want to alienate anyone. Yeah. Happy holiday. Oh, yeah. This is not a Christian club meeting. This is a Christmas-themed meeting.
It's a happy holiday party.
And hi, Carolyn.
And Scott, next Tuesday we are meeting, correct?
Wow, just the reason just with you questioning me makes me want to double check. Yeah, I don't see why not. It's the 29th.
Yeah.
I'm in for a meeting next week.
I'll come back with our best tech gift from the Christmas time. And Bill has already received all of his.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, how are we going to get through the meeting? Bill's going to occupy the first 45 minutes with his list of equipment.
No. What she's saying is that you've already seen all of the ones and I don't get anything else.
Okay.
There's a stack of Amazon right over here that's all hers.
I like Cheryl's idea. Let's make a point of having some tech to show off in the next meeting. I mean, if you got some for Christmas.
And a prize for the biggest for the guy person who out techs everybody.
Oh, what's the prize?
Well, the same as the Santa Claus beard prize.
Recognition.
Bye, guys.
Envy of everybody in the group.
Yeah, the envy of every hairless person in the group.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week. Have a Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy holidays. Stay warm. Stay safe.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
And, Scott, I need to hear from you.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Well, no, I'm the person that pays the bills around here, so I need to hear from you.
Oh, to get paid. All right. Hey, Bill, what did you think of my suggestion about the power supply? Did you get that message?
Well, yes, I did. And here's my response. You know, I got thinking about it. And this morning, I think the power supply crashed.
Maybe.
My computer won't turn on at all. And I suspect that the battery ran down and there's the needs power supply. Thank you so much.
Wow.
The power of suggestion.
It's like, you should have said a thing. Now it's dead.
Yeah, no, you killed it. You killed it.
It's anyway. Like when I used to work for the university, I would walk through a room and then later they would call it computer and technology service. What happened? I can't get into my document. I was just walking through. I didn't do anything.
Well, you know, maybe you have the same problem that I do. When I was young, there weren't electronic watches. They were all mechanical. And I bought a Timex, probably when I was 12 years old. And it put it on, had a leather strap, and it put it on. And after about a month, it quit working. And I figured, well, all right, something's wrong with it. I put it in the cupboard somewhere and forgot about it. A couple months later, I see my brother wearing it. And I says, well, wait a minute, that watch quit working. He says, no, it works fine. So I said, let me have my watch back. I got my watch back. About a couple of weeks later, it quit working. I could not wear a watch
that touched my skin.
It's your magnetic personality.
Well, I don't know. As long as, you know, you buy those bands that go through the pins and underneath the watch and back up. As long as it didn't touch the skin, it worked. If I took that off, it would stop working.
And I had never the same problem. You know, 9 years difference in age, but I had the same problem. Every time I tried to wear a wristwatch, it would mess up. I had to buy a leather strap that went underneath it.
That's very interesting. So maybe you guys were drawn to each other.
Yes.
There you go. It is somewhat interesting that you have the ability to kill computers walking by them.
That's not true. No.
You just drum up business that way.
All right, Bill, I'm going to put an end to this because we're still streaming online. Don't listen to Bill. If you need computer help, you should be getting a hold of me and not listening to Bill because he's wrong. I do not kill computers.
Merry Christmas, Scott.
Merry Christmas. I'll get a hold of you guys about the bill.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to say goodbye. This is Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions and the San Carlos Computer Club. And if you have computer issues anywhere on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you'd get a hold of me. Contact Scott at internationalcs.net. If you need remote support, you could get more immediate response from remote at internationalcs.net. Until our next meeting, it will be after Christmas, so let me say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, be good to your family, stay safe, wear a mask, and be careful. Adios.